Hot 102.7 Business with Michael Avery.
Well, we saw the ABSA Purchasing Managers Index, which is a key gauge of confidence in the manufacturing sector, out yesterday, sliding to 50.7 in April from 60 in March. And that's the lowest level that we've seen since July of last year. And that's when the wave of riots and looting smashed the economy and suggests that the manufacturing sector has started the second quarter of the year with a contraction, in part because of KZN's floods as well. And it means the task facing government, business and labor at the Steel and Engineering Federation of South Africa's mainstreaming the Steel Master Plan conference, which is coming up on the 19th and 20th of May, is even more urgent than before. The plan, which was launched back in June of 2021, just before those riots, and signed by representatives of government, business and labor, provides a series of practical steps for the steel and engineering industry to follow in order to reinvigorate itself. And I'm joined now by Defadzwa, who's otherwise known as Taffy, Chibanguza, who will have his work cut out returning to the Steel and Engineering Industries Federation as its COO recently, just as the global pandemic gives way to a war in Ukraine and obviously these issues that are confronting the sector. Taffy, welcome to the show. Firstly, what drew you back to the steel industry from the Minerals Council, I believe?
That's correct. Michael, thanks for having me and having us here at CIPSA. So CIPSA was a very good place to me when I was here 2013 to about 2017, and I've always historically appreciated the role that the steel sector has to play in the economy. Fortunately for myself, when I did cross the road to the Minerals Council, as an economist, a lot of the work I was doing was the intersection between mining and suppliers, so procurement. So, in a way, I actually never really left. Same faces that I was meeting when I was in CIPSA, just of course looking at the arguments in a different way on the other side. So the opportunity came back, opened up here at CIPSA, and you know, for me it was again just a case of crossing the road and same faces and the rest. So I think it's an exciting time also for the steel sector, difficult as it may be, but I think continually, I think this is the time when business organizations, organized business organizations, have a very important role to play in supporting the growth and expansion of sectors across the board, be it in mining or in steel. So yeah, Michael, happy to be back and excited to be back.
And you're back at, as you say, what you feel is an exciting time, also a challenging time as well. And if you look at it over the last 10 years, manufacturing really has been decimated. I mean, one just needs to drive through the likes of our former industrial heartlands of Van der Bijl and Wadeville and Germiston. What have been the primary reasons, from your perspective, behind the industry's decline over the last 10 years?
Yeah, and you know, Michael, that's a good starting point, because when I just want to make maybe the set the parameter, and that of course many of, when we talk steel and engineering, we're talking 25% of the manufacturing sector, right? So everything from the mills, primary steel producers, and of course the beneficiators, and engineering, right? So we're talking, I just want to set that parameter. Very important where you start from, because when you look at the trends at an aggregate level, this 25% of manufacturing, the sector actually has not recovered since the 2008 global financial crisis. Now, we know at that time, you know, the global financial crisis was really a global demand issue, and structurally, we've seen a persistent downward trend since then. Of course, that was off the back of the commodity price boom and the exciting times of South Africa in sort of the early 2000s. But we've seen that structural decline, and it just hasn't recovered. I think, Michael, it has a number of underpins to it. During that time, we've seen electricity prices skyrocket, and that coincides also, of course, with the start of load shedding. So it's access to electricity and the price of electricity. I would also add that the labor disruptions that have happened in the sector, with strikes often getting longer and maybe longer and more intense, does have structural implications. When you look at the trends again, typically you see that sort of dip that you get from a labor unrest or a strike action, the recovery is not as strong. And I think I would also just lastly pin it on, there's been a general confidence issue. This is business confidence issue in the country. You could also peg it to the previous political regime, and we know the decimation of confidence and relationships that happened during that time. So probably I could list many more, but those are the three that I think have been contributing to the structural downturn.
Absolutely. And why, you know, and the interlinkage there and the nexus between fixing Eskom, improving confidence, bringing costs down for producers, it's all quite clear how important the energy and the electricity component of all of this becomes. And we know government is working at that, has made many promises to increase embedded generation and lift the cap to 100 megawatts. We still see that some of that is mired in red tape, and you know, a lot of people, a lot of commentators applauded at the time. We really need to be applauding when we see this new energy coming on stream and new megawatts added to the grid. But what we also have is an administration, and through the Steel Master Plan, that has been trying to work, and through the DTIC, I know the Minister Ibrahim Patel is going to be at the conference, is trying to get all the role players around the table to say, well, this is where we think the sector should be going, and this is how we're going to get there. Just take me through the heart of the Steel Master Plan and what is hoped to be achieved through this master plan process.
Perfect, Michael. You know, the important thing here, even though there might be aspects, and I must just make the point that, you know, we're happy there's a plan. That's the starting point, right? And having a plan gets people around the table. You know, it's much easier to call my counterpart at the DTI about an issue where it is pegged or housed in the Steel Master Plan as opposed to an ad hoc, unstructured call. You know, so that's, that is a very important point. Maybe I would also peg it to my last point that I made around the confidence issue and, you know, bringing business, labor, and business, government and labor to an agreement. And that's, in essence, the spirit of these master plans across industries, and particularly this one that we're speaking to, that it's an industry collaboration between business, labor, and government, which seeks to determine what are the pressure points and how to resolve them. And then it sets itself the targets, which, and I think in this point here, what's important is that, you know, generally the targets and the outcomes and the ambitions are actually not in dispute. We might sometimes differ on how to get to the destination, and, you know, at that point, aspects of command versus market approaches, you know, you might differ at that point, but it's always a happy and sweet medium. And that's where this this Steel Master Plan, that's sort of the framework and context in which it's built. And I think what they really got right in the Master Plan, and I say this because when I was across the road in the mining sector, we did work through a few Master Plans at the time, and what struck me in this particular one in terms of what I think they got right was the identification of the fact that there are burning platform issues, issues that are causing the deep decline that we spoke about in the sector, where we've seen this continued decline. So in there, they then develop a raft of stability measures. And then subsequent to that, then there's also growth measures, right? And the idea, I thought that was a very clever way of saying you have to first arrest the decline before you start growing the sector, because there'll be nothing to grow, you know, if the decline continues. So without getting into detail, I just thought even structurally, the way the plan is built around partnership, and then those saving the current capacity before we grow, is also very important. It's a very important approach.
Yeah, and I mean, we had just recently the CEO of RMB weighed into the issue on localization in the renewable energy program, and just mentioning the fact that, yes, localization is obviously, as a long-term goal, admirable and laudable from a policy perspective, but we also have to be mindful of what our binding constraints are now and look to rather stabilize the economy. Let's get every megawatt that we can kind of onto the grid and then grow and then look to see where we can localize from there. But to your earlier point, Taffy, we've got the plan. It creates that space now to have these conversations. And that is what I assume is going to be happening at the Mainstreaming the Steel Master Plan event. We've got about a minute to go. What can listeners look forward to on the 19th and 20th of May?
19th and 20th of May is a platform that CIFSA have created that come as government, business and labor. Let's discuss the plan. And importantly, let's look at the development since the signing of the plan. You'll find a lot of the issues that you read through the plan when you work through the plan. For example, many of the aspects was pre the 100 megawatt lifting. So what does energy security and energy supply bring in private sector onto the grid? What does that mean after that now? What does it mean post that announcement? Issues of carbon taxes and the extension that the Treasury gave. So this is a real opportunity for industry and business, industry and government and labor to come one to say, where are we now? Let's take stock of where we are now, because there's been a lot of reform, lots of activity that has happened in the last, say, year. And how then do we tweak our roadmap to get to the desired goals that we all agree aligned with on.
And you've got the right people around the table. You've got the Minister of Trade and Industry and Competition. We always forget that one of the new title. Evren Patel is going to be there. You've got Irvin Jim, the GM or General Secretary, I should say, of NUMSA, the National Union of Mine Workers. You've got Mike Benfield of Max Steel. So really a good mix between government, between labor and business, and obviously yourselves as the industry organization and other delegates. I'm really looking forward to it. Taffy, thanks so much for sharing a little bit more about where the industry stands currently as we build up to that important event, and I'll be bringing my listeners closer to the Mainstreaming the Steel Master Plan conference here on Hot Business. That was Taffy Chibanguza, the COO of CIFSA, here on Hot.